This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, the reality of working today is that people are continuously asked to do more and more and have no time to rest, often with grave consequences for their health and well-being, an expert from the UN Labour Agency, the ILO, said on Thursday. In an interview with Daniel Johnson from UN News, occupational safety and health specialist Manal Adzi discusses the pros and cons of technological innovation at work, as well as sustainable solutions to combat climate change, highlighting that prevention really is the key.
So really, the world of work has changed. So we are working differently, we're working longer hours, we're using more technology.
In what way are we working longer hours? I mean, what's the proportion of the world's workforce? This is the formal workforce, not to mention the informal sector. Yeah. How many people are working longer than 48 hours a week?
The report says 36% of workers are working excessive longer hours, meaning more than 48 hours a week.
Are we in a place where we're going towards longer hours, or are the lines between what is work and what is not work becoming more blurred, perhaps?
Yes, so two things. So we're working towards longer hours because of this increased connectivity. So different people work through various media, including phones, laptops that you can carry everywhere, internet that now is available for everyone, global phone calls, Skype calls that make people need to be reached at all times. We, for example, work with countries in the Far East, countries in Latin America, so we are on call, sort of. Unless we're sleeping, we're on call.
So what's the effect on people's mental health? Is that one of the big issues?
It is a huge issue. Well, effect is on work-life balance, effect is on mental health, because there's no downtime. People are continuously requested to deliver more and more. They have no time to rest mentally, health-wise, or have other occupations, or have time to have any pastime plans.
Does this affect men or women more, or young people perhaps?
Well, there are less women in the as part of the workforce as men, but it affects women more because they tend to have to multitask. So they're the number one child carers, and that's why it would affect them more, because they need to have, sometimes they're having flexible hours, which looks like it's flexible, but at the same time they care for children or older parents, and then they have to be at their job. And not only do you work when you're at your office, but then you're working at home as well. So it's a lot of sedentary work, and that affects cardiovascular diseases as well.
And so they're at higher risk of those kinds, yes, of diseases, cardiovascular, cancers and respiratory.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on to climate change. Is that something that the formal workplace, factories and offices are increasingly becoming aware of or not?
Yes, I mean, traditionally occupational safety and health is a safety and health issue for workers, but also for the environment around it. But more than ever, air pollution is becoming an issue, indoor pollution, but also outdoor pollution, and affects workers that work in the outdoor, like agriculture workers, construction workers. So with the difference in climate change and increases in degrees of heat, this will then not allow workers to be working at peak hours during the day. This is costing time off work, which costs in productivity. So in that sense, there's a link. And then we need to see how to protect these workers that are facing higher heat conditions. In addition to sustainable development through the changes in climate change, we have what we're calling green jobs, introducing new ways of efficient energy, including wind turbines and recycling measures that also introduce new risks and hazards to the workers that work with them, chemicals that were not present before, substituted material that bring with them their own hazards and risks as well.
And finally, how can we do something about this? How can we help workers be less stressed, be less vulnerable to these causes of mortality, which you cite, circulatory diseases, 31% of workers, work-related cancers, 26% of workers, and respiratory disease affecting 17%.
So we are trying to now keep up to date with the new risks. It also varies at different national levels and different enterprises and different sectors. So we try to produce material that's based on different exposures and these different sectors and regions. The way we do this is by updating workplace policy, but also national policy on what is acceptable working hours, on limitations that one can put. Some offices have now, like, they close after 4. You can't access work email from home. There are different measures that can be promoted, but also you need to listen to the circumstances and the context of different countries, because it's also up to the worker. Some workers are happier delivering more or don't have other obligations. It's about being flexible. It's about listening to the needs of the different requirements that a worker today faces in managing their life and work balance.
And finally, just how many people, what do your statistics show, how many people are at risk and indeed die from occupational accidents?
The latest estimate that 2.78 million people annually are dying due to occupational accidents, which lead to injuries and illnesses.
That's just in the formal setting. So what would you suggest the figure is for the global informal sector as well?
Yeah, we're not in a position to claim a figure that represents the global, but it could be much higher. This has increased due to increased reporting, but also there is still a lot of underreporting in various regions. So we cannot be in a position to actually claim how much more. That is why our focus is not on numbers. It's more on improving the quality of life and not the quantity, because in terms of safety and health, one death or one sickness is more than it should be.